being ordained to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus. Paul said, having this ordination, then let us go on to a full reward. You know, there's always so many things, and I guess everybody's that way. But with me, the Word of God is so rich in my heart and life until there are so many things that's in my heart to speak about concerning the hidden mysteries of Christ and the simplicity of the gospel unto salvation. Until when I get up here, it's very difficult for me to know where to start. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, in the 38th verse, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And then beginning in the 11th chapter, at the first verse, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that those things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heir with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that he received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted and were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. For God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. I'd like to take just a few minutes and comment some on faith. I felt today that I was to talk with you a few minutes. Kind of thought about getting somebody to preach.
Earlier in the day, he showed me that he wanted me to speak to you. And I thought, well, what do you want me to speak on? And the Lord said, on faith. And, of course, when I come up here and open my Bible, as always, without any programs or plans, I opened it right to the chapter of faith. So he evidently wants me to talk to you about faith. Faith, what did he say about faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, I've tried to explain this at times gone by, but I'd like to comment on it just a little here now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, you might say, what do you mean by that? I mean that faith is the thing that stands instead of what you want when you desire something that you do not have. By that I mean that if there is something that I am wanting, if I can find faith, real, genuine faith, to believe that that thing belongs to me, then I never have to worry anymore. Because faith is so sure to give me the thing I'm asking for that the Bible calls it the substance of things hoped for. That is to say, the Bible says that it is so sure that if you have faith concerning the thing, you already have the thing. It defines it as the very substance that you're desiring. That to have faith, you don't have to worry anymore. You've already got it. You've already got your substance. Whatever the substance is, whether it be a substance that's pertaining to money, whether it be a substance that's pertaining to health, whether or not it would be a substance pertaining to automobiles, houses, lands, gifts, callings, or whatever with God, once faith arises in your heart, you have whatever you have desired. That's why Jesus said in the book of Mark, he said, when you desire something, believe in your heart and don't doubt it. Believe in your heart and don't doubt it. And then make a confession unto that thing. And then you will have it. For he said, whatever you say, that is whatever you confess. Whatever you say, he said, whatever you confess. He said, if you believe in your heart and don't doubt, he said, you'll have whatever you say. Why is that? Because the Bible tells us that Jesus is the high priest of our confession. He is the high priest of the confession of faith. Faith will confess the thing. Faith is God's confession of your desired substance. Faith is the confession. When you believe, your spirit has confessed that God's word is true without change or alteration. And because your spirit has confessed it, then that means that all you have to do after that is make a confession with your lips to bring it into the world of reality, to bring it into the world realm of reality. For you've already received it from God. You already have it because your faith is the confession. When faith speaks, faith says, I believe it. It's mine. And Christ, who is the high priest of that confession, automatically within the heart, searching the mind of the heart, that knoweth the mind of the spirit, knows all of these things. And then with the confession of the lips, it becomes a verbal expression. And when it becomes a verbal expression, then it becomes a part of this natural, tangible world of tangible substance. And it then belongs to you. So then faith is the substance of the thing that you are hoping for. What you are hoping for, you cannot see. But by faith, because God's word promised you these things, you confess that it belongs to you. So then if thou canst believe in thine heart and not doubt, and confess with your lips, that man shall have whatsoever he saith. Whatever he saith. That's why the prophets were so powerful. They lived with Christ and they walked with God. They pulled themselves away and dwelt in caves, so it's not to have any kind of interruption in their minds. So it's not to have daily temptation of the many things that you have to cope with. So that they could perfect their faith. And living like that in solitude, their faith became perfect. And they were in such harmony with God, such confidence with God, that they would just speak to anything. It would happen just like that. They would say, "And thus saith the Lord." It would happen just like that. Though you and I are living in a far greater day, a day that does not require the efforts that they had to put forth, that is to have to dwell by themselves the way they did. Though we're living in a greater day, it seems that we as a people are underprivileged people. And we don't have all the things that we desire because we don't utilize our faith and our ability. I know of a surety in my own little life and in the things that I've coped with in my lifetime, that whatever I've asked Him for, He has given it to me. Whatever I've desired, I told Him I wanted. He has given it to me. The things that we spoke of that would come to pass, God, as a rule, brings them to pass for me. Why? Because I believe. I believe the promises of God. It is said that 32,000 promises are within the book. They all belong to us. We sing that song. Every promise in the book is mine. So then by faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of that thing that you have never yet seen. It is the proof of your eternal life. It is the proof that you have eternal life. If you thus have faith, you thus have eternal life. If you have faith, then you have salvation. So then faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The reason that it is impossible to please God is because God is the invisible force of life. God is the creator of all things. God has made all things. But in spite of that, there is no recognition of God's deity. There is no recognition of God's greatness. There is no recognition of the act of God as to Him being responsible unless you learn of Him and believe in Him. So then it's impossible to please Him when you don't believe there is a God and you don't believe in the things that He hath done to give Him glory and praise and honor. The Bible said the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." So then God says, without faith, you cannot please me. He that cometh unto me must first believe that I am. That is, believe there is a God. And then he must, of necessity, believe that I am a rewarder of them that diligently seek God. So then, to believe in God, if I can confess it with my heart, confess it with my lips, then Christ, who is the high priest of the confession of my faith, the high priest of my confession, will bring it to pass. So I thank the Lord because when we come to understand the way of God, understand faith, it is so rewarding. You know, we have a promise from God, a lot of promises. But we have a promise. The Bible said God has given us all things that pertain unto life. All things that pertain unto life. Whether joy, peace, happiness, eternal security, a good wife, children, whatever we desire. God has already given it to us. Well, the Bible said it shall come to pass that he shall hear before we ask. And God already heard before we asked, before he was ever born into the world to ask. And he gave it all to us through Christ at Calvary. He made an appropriation through the atonement. And every bit of it already belongs to us. So before we ever ask, he's already given it to us. How then does faith work concerning it? Faith works by understanding what God's promises are. Faith is by the hearing of the word. To hear the word, to understand the word, is to believe the word. And to believe the word is to put a confidence in your heart. And the Bible said that faith is a confidence. For this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything concerning his will, we know that he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, then we know that we have the petition that we desire. And what is God's will? It is his word. And what does God's word say? Say what you will. Believe in your heart and don't doubt. This is my will, and ye shall have whatsoever ye say. So then, is it a matter of me getting all mixed up in my mind? Is this the thing that causes me not to receive of God? Is that the thing that causes me to be in trouble? Well, the Bible said, lay aside sin, those things which does so easily beset you, and run with patience the race that is set before you. Getting away from the little foxes that spoil the vines. That is to say, you are a vine of God. And the little foxes are the little things that you do that allows the spirits of evil to strip your vine of the grapes, as the fig tree when Jesus cursed it because it would not produce. It is those things, not being cursed of God to the extent that you're still a vine, but in that you don't bear any fruit. And this displeases God. And you would say, why? What is my fruit, Brother Pike? The Bible said, and this is your fruit, that whatsoever ye ask in my name, and these things you ask of me, for I desire that you bear much fruit. That is, that you ask many things, that I might be able to do them for you. So then the condemnation takes away the faith. And instead of believing, we find ourselves making believe, which is displeasing to God. God doesn't like a make-believer. He wants us to truthfully believe. For Christ is not the high priest of our make-believing, but of our confession of faith. So then, where do I stand? Do I come to God wondering if I'm good enough? I say this so often to you to try to get your understanding open. Do I then come to God wondering if I'm good enough to be healed? If I'm good enough to have the blessings of God? If I'm good enough to have salvation? The Bible tells us that while we were yet in our sins, God loved us so much that he gave the best thing that heaven could afford, even the Son of God. Gave it in our behalf at Calvary, sacrificed it. Heaven surrendered it to earth while we were yet in our sins. While we as yet did not even look in his direction. While we as yet didn't think upon him. And yet God, give us the best in the behalf of our sufferings. Give us the best while we were yet doing wrong. For while we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us, saying, ye did not seek me, but I come to seek and to save that which was lost. And God gave it before I was ever born into the world, knowing how wretched I would be when I came into the world. But God still gave it. And I find myself a Christian. I find myself calling upon God. And I find myself walking within the presence of Christ, having the wonderful fellowship that can only come from the Holy Spirit. All because of His unselfish love and His charitable gift when I was doing nothing for Him. Now then, if God did that while I did not love Him, while I was not looking in His direction, what would He do for me now that I do love Him and that I am looking in His direction? And if He kept me then to bring me to God, how much easier is it for Him to keep me now that I am trying to serve God? So then, did I do anything for salvation at all? Not a thing. He gave it to me strictly by love. This is why Paul said that it is not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. Therefore, freely being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how much I fasted. It doesn't matter how much I prayed. God saved me before I fasted. He saved me before I prayed. That's why Peter and Paul had the dispute. Paul had been under the law like Peter. Both of them were Jews. He had been under the law the same as Peter. But he said, Peter, if we're going back under the law, I don't see any reason for Calvary. Said, because we fasted and prayed to start with. That's the way that we did it to start with. But then we say, what are we going to do with the scripture? Where they said, wherefore have we fasted, save they, and thou takest no knowledge? Why didn't you hear us? Isn't that the way? But he didn't take any knowledge. Why is it that we prayed and you didn't hear us? And then the Lord explained to them that the righteousness was not of them. That was not of the law. It was not self-righteousness, but it was the righteousness of God, which is by Christ Jesus. So then, what kind of righteousness is it? It is the righteousness of faith. So then, when we have faith in God, by faith, God purifies our hearts. So then, am I good enough to be saved? No. Am I good enough to be healed? No. Am I good enough for God to hear me? No. Am I good enough that God should do anything for me? No. Then are you good enough? No. The Bible said there's none good. No, not one. All have gone astray. All have turned to their own way. All have gone after the world. All have looked to their own quarter for their own gain. And God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. For it is Christ, the Bible said, that was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace, even the peace that I have today, was laid upon his back. So then, why should I misconstrue faith? Why should I spend my time letting the devil talk to my mind? And why should I let him create such a besetting thoughts as to cause me not to believe? Why should I then do that? Should I then believe with all of my heart? I should believe. Do I believe with all of my heart to the best of my ability? Why shouldn't I believe? That's the right way. We should believe. And so I believe. If I pray for a person, should I then wonder, is he good enough to be healed? Or if she is good enough to be healed? Should I then wonder about them so far as their religious conviction? Maybe they've been worshiping the idols of Confucius or some other idol. Should I then wonder about that? No, because we're living in the days of grace. I said the other night, those are not faiths anyway. There is but one faith. We have that faith. So then, what should I do? I should talk to the individual. I should find out if the individual has faith in the Word of God. It doesn't matter if they're Chinese, doesn't matter if they're black, doesn't matter if they're white or they're yellow or red, if they're Indian, Caucasian, whatever they are, doesn't matter. If they have faith in God, it doesn't matter if they don't belong to Little Bethlehem. It doesn't matter if they don't belong to the Methodist, the Baptist, the Pentecostal, the UPC. That has nothing to do with it. The thing is, do they believe God's Word? If they believe God's Word, they're eligible for healing. Faith will bring healing into their heart. They're eligible for salvation if they believe God's Word. So then preach the gospel to every creature. The Chinese, the German, the Japanese, the heathen. Preach the gospel in all the world to every creature. He that believeth, the Bible says, and is baptized. That is, he that believeth will be baptized. Because how can you say you believe something when you don't act upon it? Can you say that you believe something and not act upon it? That's make-believe. But if you say, I believe that Jesus died for the remission of my sins, and the way that I acknowledge that by faith is to be baptized in his name, then of course if you believe that, you will do that. So then he that believeth, when a person believes in their heart, then makes a confession with their lips unto salvation, then God will save them. You say, but what if they believe, Brother Pike, in their heart, and they make a confession unto salvation, and then they don't do the thing that's required? It's not possible for you to do that. The fact that you believe, you will do it. The fact that you don't do it proves that you did not believe. You only made believe. So then, to believe in your heart, to believe, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the lips confession is made unto salvation. Why the lips? Because the affirmation or the confirmation of faith's confession is your human lips. For faith hath no lips but your lips. When your lips confess, then faith automatically goes to work. There's a verbal expression of confirmation, just like there is an act of baptism as to the believing and the remission of sin, which is of course in his name. So then faith, the elders obtained a good report by faith. This is the wonderful thing, faith. How do I believe? I must first believe that the work is already done. Christ did it at Calvary. It's already finished. It is done. I don't have to ask him to do it. I don't have to wonder if I'm good enough for him to do it. My goodness had nothing to do with him doing it. My goodness had not anything to do with him doing it. He did it because he was good. It was out of the love of God, out of the goodness of God's heart, that he did this at Calvary, sacrificed a human body, his own son, to give me fully all things that pertain unto life, both in this world and in the world to come, as to an eternal security. So he's already done it. It's not a matter of me getting him to do it. Can God heal me? God has already healed me. Will God heal me? God has already healed me. If I never accept my healing, if I never enjoy my healing, he's already healed me. He's like the father that put the money in the bank for all of the child's needs. All of it is appropriated for him. Everything that he can need, the father figured it out. He put it in the bank. He put enough to take care of it. It's up to the child It's up to the child to go there and get what he wants for his needs accordingly. So then it's not a matter of whether he will hear me or whether God will heal me or whether God has healed me or whether God has appropriated all that I need as pertaining to life. So then that is not the thing that comes before us. When you let that come before you, that is Satan sending delusions. When you try to figure out if you're good enough, or if he will do it for you, or should you ask him, or is the other individual good enough to have it, or is God respect a person, or how much you'll have to fast, or how long you'll have to be a Christian before you can have these things. When you let these come before you, you're letting Satan steal all that you have. And you're perishing from the lack of knowledge. So then, where is the contest? Is it then between me and God, as Satan would make me to think, by cowarding down my faith and keeping me from good things? Is it then between me and God that I should listen to Satan's perversion and wrestle with God as to whether God loves me, as to whether God will do this for me? Isn't that the way that God, Satan, the god of this world, turns us around and so easily besets us? See, it's not a matter of that. That's a perverted outlook. Satan does that. That's a decoy. But where is the contest? The contest is between me and the fact that the atonement is already made as to my acceptation in wrestling with Lucifer in unbelief. That is, through faith overcoming unbelief. If I wrestle, even if I'm still in unbelief, I don't get the atonement. But if I have faith and I wrestle like Jacob, then I overcome. And then I get the atonement. So then the contest is not between me and God, it's between me and Lucifer. And the contest is that I must overcome his perverted accusations and his perverted words that decoy and turn me away from the faith. Like the man that kept trying to turn him away from the faith when Paul was preaching to them. Satan wants to turn us away from the faith. Because the Bible said, taking the shield of faith that you might be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. The whole thing centers around faith. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, only believe. Say what you will in your heart. Don't doubt, and you can have whatever you say. So then what I must do is wrestle. The Bible said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places, demon powers, fallen angels, things that attack my thoughts, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Asking in faith, nothing wavering. Abraham was strong in faith. The Bible said, being fully persuaded that what God has promised, that he's able also to perform. So then in faith, we ask. How do I ask? I say, Lord, I don't have to come to God and say, Father, forgive my sins. Because God has already taken away my sins before the world ever was. There is no sin in him. I was begotten in him before the world ever was. The joys that I had with him before the world ever was. So what do I do? I do pray, Father, forgive me my trespasses. As I forgive others their trespasses against me. So often I use the term sin because that is a general term of saints. But in all reality, all I have to do is look up and say, Father, I thank thee. Like Jesus, he stood at the tomb of Lazarus. He lifted up his hands and his heart and he said, Father, I'm
thankful that thou hearest me. And I know thou hearest me always. I only made the communication as the verbal expression so everybody would not think I did it of myself, that the Heavenly Father, that the glory may go to the Spirit. In that flesh is corruptible, and I've come in the symbol of that. To give the praise to the Spirit. So he said, you know, like you and I, all we have to do is say, Father, I praise thee. And I thank thee for the forgiveness of sins. I thank thee because my sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. Now I love you and praise you for it. I praise you because my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from dawn, the writer said, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. See, this is why that God done away with the offering up of the blood of bulls and goats. Every year, the 10th day of the 7th month, God was reminded of sin. And he didn't like that. So once and for all, he took our sins away. And there is no more remembrance in God's mind. Never again does God ever hear anything about sin anymore. It's all gone. Never does he hear about Brother Pike's sins no more. There is no more sin. All he wants to hear is my praises of glorifying him because I am a son of God, forgiven of my sins. So then do I have problem when I go to ask for blessings? Why should I have problems? Whereas the Bible said to come boldly before the throne of grace. What kind of boldness does God speak of? Come without the thoughts of sin. Come without condemnation. Come because you are a son of God. Come because you are holy and righteous and pure and without any spot or blemish because of his atonement. So then come boldly before the throne of God. That is, come in and say, Heavenly Father, I've got a problem. I've got to have your help. That's all it is to it. Oh God, help me. I got to have it now. Just like you would if you went to your father. No condemnation. No human reasoning. Not leaning to your own understanding. Because it's full of infiltration. A constant warfare from your first birth. So don't mess with that. See, be in the mind of Christ. Come into the perfect mind of Christ. Get rid of every thought. Walk in the Spirit. In the mind of Christ. So then, if you desire something, believe that you have it, and you shall receive it. For whatever you confess, he is the high priest that says, Heavenly Father, they're righteous by my blood. Grant it, so you get it. So then, when I believe, what kind of foundation does my faith need? It needs this kind of understanding that we're speaking of. It needs this kind of word as to bring faith by the hearing. It needs this kind of revelation. This brings perfect faith. Paul said, we wish this even the perfecting of your faith. So then, what am I wrestling against? If I'm not wrestling against the thoughts of not being good enough, if I'm not wrestling against the thoughts of not having lived a Christian life long enough, then what am I wrestling against? I would be wrestling against one thing, and that is the perversion of him that caused me to think like that. That is to say, what I need to do is get that out of my mind. Quit wrestling with God and saying, oh God, I'm not good enough. Oh God, how long do I have to fast? Oh God, I know you would give it to me if you could, but you can't. Because of. And right there we get God upset because the Bible said nothing shall be impossible with God. So then we say, oh God, forgive me, I'm mixed up. I said you can't, but I know you can. And then you say, oh God, I'm mixed up. If you can, why didn't you do it? And then you get mixed up again and say, well, I don't know. I know that you're good, but God, I'm suffering. And God, if you're good, why am I suffering?
God just said I wasn't supposed to. Oh my God, I'm all mixed up. I don't know what to believe. See, that's what the devil wants. But see, folks, we've got to remember, like I'm telling you, God has nothing to do with it. He's done it. It's all over. He's given it to us. All things that pertain unto life, that's a foolishness of ours. That's undevelopment. That's being like a child. We just haven't grown up. We've got to come to the realization that God, it's not a matter of God giving it to us, of God being respected person. That's all been settled in Christ. It is a matter of us not letting Satan pervert our thinking. That's why he tells us to draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to us, to try to understand the Word, to study it day and night. Stay in there with it. Don't perish because you don't understand. Don't let the devil rob you. Thine iniquities have separated between thee and God, and held thee back from good things that God has already given thee, even before you ever asked. So then, has God already answered before I called? He surely has. What did he do? He put it in the bank. It's at Calvary. Then, am I already healed, Brother Pike? Most assuredly. As to the potentiality, the work's already done. Then, am I already healed? Of course. Then, why am I suffering, Brother Pike? That don't make sense. It's simply because you have not drawn anything out of your account. It's simply because you didn't have enough confidence in what was told you and what God did for you, to rejoice in it and praise God with a full confidence like Abraham, and go on your way and watch the line vanity melt like the snow when the sunlight strikes it. So then, giving praise unto him. And the Bible said all of these sufferings come upon you. All of these sufferings. Because you serve not the Lord with joyfulness of heart. That is because you don't rejoice over what he's already done for you and accepted by faith. And he that observes the line vanity, whether it's sickness, poverty, whatever it might be, he that observes line vanities forsakes his own mercy, or forsakes the many mercies that was compact in the atonement of Calvary to you and I. To observe the line vanities of this world, where Solomon said all is vanity, vexation of the spirit, and all of the world passeth away. To observe those things and the threats of Satan is to magnify Satan and give him power over your life. But to believe in the Word and not to observe those lying vanities is to receive the abundance of the treasures of mercy that was given you freely through the Lord Jesus Christ. So then we say by faith and many multiplied things tonight that I could say to you by faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How powerful is faith? The Bible said it stopped the mouth of lions as with Daniel. It quenched the violence of fire as with the Hebrew children. It actually picked Ezekiel up and took him through the air. In this present world, it actually caused Enoch to be translated that he should not see death. Power over death. The Bible said, behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Somebody would say, well, bless God, this thing's always hurting me, Brother Pike. Does that mean then that the devil can't hurt us in this world? It certainly does not. It certainly does not. He can beat and bang on your head, and you can find yourself in a wreck, and you can find yourself in poverty, and you can find yourself having a lot of problems. Then someone would say, Brother Pike, that God didn't mean what he said. Yes, he meant what he said. When he said, behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall of the enemy hurt you, he was speaking of your inner man. It doesn't matter what you go through in this world, you're without spot. The devil never touches you at any time. You remain perfect, and he never hurts you in any way. But the Word of God is twofold. It also can be used to keep the devil from beating on your head, as we say, or of causing you trouble in the natural. But for you to reap the benefit of that, it goes back to the confession. You've got to make some effort. You've got to make some effort to do something in the natural as to staying out of his way and to believing to the extent that you can convince your heart. Hereby we assure our heart to the confidence that we can have power over it. It takes bringing the body into subjection. If you're going to reap the benefits of the body, then you've got to bring it into subjection. So then, I say again, it's not a matter of the contest that is between you and the Heavenly Father as to His will and all of the frustrations of life. The contest is, can you bring this body under subjection as to stop it from its foolishness of believing in the lying vanities of contrariness to the Word of God? Are you willing to stop glutton? Are you willing to be sober, sensible people through life? Are you willing to live soberly, to leave off with the world and the foolishness of the world and the things that will damn your soul and the things that causes you to be gullible in your desire toward that which is unprofitable, that which tends to corruption? Are you willing to leave off with it? Or are you so foolish that you'll forsake all of those mercies by observing the lying vanities of life and following after those things? So then, if you're not willing to leave them off, if you're not willing to make the adjustment, then you can't have the vision. You turn the TV on, and if you don't want to take the time to adjust the knobs, then you can't have the vision. It takes your effort. God has put something for everyone to do. Like the banker says, I could loan all the money if you want to borrow a car. But if I do, you're not going to have any concern about the car. But if you invest some and I invest some, then you'll have some concern. Your labor's in it. See, God has made it a twofold thing. For marriage to succeed, it takes both, man and wife. For children to make it through life, fathers and mothers shouldn't provoke the children to anger. It takes them working together. So if you're going to have faith, you're going to have to get some lip confession. Lip confession. I'm going to say a few more things here in close. You're going to have some lip confession. And you're going to have some deeds, for faith without works is dead. Someone would say, you mean to tell me that you preach all of that by faith? And then you bring us right back around to the same place and you tell us that faith won't work unless you put works with it? That's not what he's talking about at all. The faith of God needs no works. Salvation comes strictly by believing. But the thing is, if I preach the word, and if you don't make any effort to hear it and receive it, it isn't effective to you. See, faith and what God has done needs no help. But it's just like this. If my wife cooks a meal for a starving man, and if she invites him to sit down to the table, and he refuses to accept it, and he says, I don't know, I'm too dirty, I can't come in. She says, that don't make no difference. But he said, I can't do it, I'm a beggar, I'm a bum. She said, it doesn't make any difference. But he says, I just can't make myself believe that. And he turns off. He doesn't come in. He'll starve to death. It's like it's been said in the past, especially in the days of Abe Lincoln. A man was given a pardon. They told the man that he was pardoned of his sins, but the man didn't believe it. But they said, you are pardoned. But he said, I can't accept that. I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. And he went out to his death. And the man was killed. And there was a great uproar about it. And they said, what can we do? For the president himself pardoned the man. They said, there ain't nothing we can do except to make a ruling that a pardon is only a pardon if it is received. And if it is not received, then it is not a pardon. And so it is with faith. Faith is only effective if you believe it. You only get the benefits of what your Father has left you if you have enough confidence in the words of your Father as to his decease, as to go take advantage of what he did for you. So then if thou canst believe that it's not me speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking from within me, and that he told me to speak to you concerning faith, and to tell you these things tonight, that he loves you, that you are his children, and that he wants you to have this, because of his decease, this is his will. As to the lawyer's reading and the appropriated rights for you, and that ye should not question his love towards you with all the frustrations of life and anxieties that build in your mind. But that what you should do rather, you should struggle and make a special effort in striving to line up with his word and his desire and his way of life, to believe exactly what he said so that you can believe it. What should I then do, Brother Pike, as an ultimatum of all of this? If thou canst believe in thine heart and confess with your mouth, whatever you say, if you say it and don't doubt, ye shall have whatsoever you say, because Jesus is the high priest of our confession. So then, it is the Father's good will that you bring forth much fruit. And what is your fruit? He said, it remaineth that whatsoever ye ask in my name, I will give it thee. I want you to stand with me. Decree a thing in your heart. Don't doubt. And it will come to pass. If you decree a thing in your heart and don't doubt, then it will come to pass. So, whatever ye desire, we desire many things, folk. Whatever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive it and ye shall have it. For faith is that substance that you desire. Believe that it is yours. Believe that ye have received it. Believe that it's already come. Believe that he heard before you call. Believe that God has already given it to you. And then start praising him for it. Thanking him for it. Rejoicing more and more until you become fully persuaded. In doing it, God will give you the desires of your heart. So wonderful it is to serve God and be a child of the Lord. So I say one more time in closing. You don't have to go through the wilderness of wandering. It's all over. No more bewilderment. No more questions as to who is eligible and who is not. If God has so kindly and graciously poured out of his grace and his love, even upon sinners, which I was before I came to know him, poured it up upon sinners, and today sinners are still enjoying his benefits of grace. Most assuredly, he would be kind enough to give something to them that serve him and that love him and that care for him and that call on his name all the day long. The Bible said, if your son asks of you bread, would you give him a stone? If he asks of you an egg, would you give unto him a serpent? If he, being evil and wicked, know how to give good gifts unto your children, then how much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts unto them that call upon his name? The Bible said he will answer speedily. So he wants you to have the desire of your heart, the blessing of the Lord to make you rich and add no sorrow, to ride upon the high places of the earth. He wants to feed you with the heritage of Jacob. He wants you to bring forth your fruit and your season, your leaves, not wither. Whatever you do, he wants it to prosper. But remember, thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God.
For he that regardeth iniquity in his heart, God will not hear him. The reason is because faith will not work in a heart of iniquity. And God cannot answer except through faith. The shield of faith will quench any dart, any sickness, any problem of the wicked one. You understand what I'm saying? So thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God. Thine iniquities. The little foxes have spoiled your vines when they would have been full of fruit. So then, don't do iniquity. Forsake the sin that does so easily beset you. Get away from it. Don't practice it. Don't go after it. Even in the time of your chastisement because of your error, when you do wrong, you let the devil in. He gets a hold of you. That is the chastening of the Lord. You serve yourself. So should this come, whether it be for one purpose or another. Love the Lord. Overcome when you're tried and tempted and tested. And then you'll receive the crown of life. Still make your confession in God as to faith. That's the way you do it. And don't wrestle over the uncertainties as to God's feeling towards you. Accept his word of positiveness and verification of what he hath said concerning you. God has said it. It's unaltered to every generation. I believe it. That settles it. All of his promises are yea and amen, which means they cannot be altered because they've already been done. They've already been taken care of. No way to alter them. He can't alter them. He can't say, well, I might change my mind. I might not do them. It's not possible. They're already done. There's no possibility of alteration. They're already done. Even the promise of your eternal security and eternal life. Some of you will never get the benefits of these things that I speak of. The reason, it isn't because of the shortcoming of God towards you or the lack of his love. It is because you love darkness rather than light, because your deeds are evil. Thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God and held thee back from the good things. It is because you had rather be worldly, have the frolics of life, enjoy natural things rather than be spiritually minded, and spend your time, that is, go out and do all of the carnal things of life that your flesh desires, which leaves you drained of spiritual things and spiritual promises and spiritual life, and thus you fail to get the blessings of God. But you that want to press in, that are looking for a full reward, then you understand that it's just a matter of you accepting what God has already done for you and not wavering. That's all there is to it. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul, for his rest complete, as I sit at his feet, sweet Jesus. Sweep over my soul, for I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe, evermore. You know, the end of the world is here. You need to have faith. Shall I find faith at my coming? Can't be saved without it. You're translated by faith. Glory to glory. The understanding to understanding. To another world, another dimension. Someone, can't remember just two. The other night they had a night vision, had a dream, and they seen the Lord appear in the heavens. They seen, I believe it was as a rainbow, the beautiful rainbow, and then like a door that went right through the cloud. It was not a rainbow like you see, but a cloud rainbow. The whole rainbow was a cloud. Then as a door that went right through the rainbow cloud, or that is God, appeared in the heavens and called his people away. Just two or three nights before that, I guess, or a week before that, just a few days, Gracie said she had a dream, and the Lord appeared in the heavens, and a big hand went down like that and picked up all of his people and took them up into heaven like that. The coming of the Lord is at hand. And there ain't no reason why that we can't be ready to meet him. All we got to do is believe. But you cannot believe. Your heart will not believe unless it can make the confession of faith. And it cannot make the confession of faith unless you, from within your heart, not a religious turnaround, but within your heart, turn from your corruption, sinful desire, and turn unto God with all of your desire. You cannot believe. Hereby we assure our heart, do the things that please it, and then arises the confidence that he heareth us. Thus we know that we have the desire we, or the petition that we desire of him. Okay, let's sing another chorus. Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Just come in to my heart. Lord Jesus, just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sing it again. Come into my heart. You're welcome to come to the altar if you like. To my heart. Oh, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. If you love the Lord and you believe that the end of the world is close by, why don't you come down here tonight? Could you really believe what I said and turn to go your way? Could you really do that? Is that faith? I see so many ease out so often when I speak of faith. And then I'm made to realize that they don't have faith. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And it's by faith of the Word that you're saved. So then, If it is not me speaking, but God, and if I'm not doing my own thing in life as a human being, but I'm doing the thing of God, as to give my life to God, so that He will give me another life, even an eternal one, then how could you believe and not honor what I say? Jesus said, how can you say that you are my sheep when you don't hear my voice? And how can you say that you love me when you don't believe what I say? And is it possible that you can call the Lord your Lord and God except by the Holy Ghost? Is He then your Lord and God if you don't have the Holy Ghost? Don't you have to have the Holy Ghost for Him to be your Lord and God? How then can you be His if you don't have His Spirit? For He said, if you have not my Spirit, then you're none of mine. And if you have not His Spirit, how then can you be His? How then can you say, my Lord, except that you have the Holy Ghost or by the Holy Ghost? So then if He's your Lord, it's because you have His Spirit. Just saying I believe is not good enough. People believe all over the world, but they believe in all kind of gods. I said the other day, the Pope getting everybody together, saying this is their faith. And they believe in Confucius, and this is our faith. We believe in Christ, and that's their faith. They believe in Muhammad. See, that's not true. There is no such thing as Muhammad faith and Confucius faith. There is only one faith, and that is the Christian faith, which faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God Almighty. For the Bible said there is but one faith. If the Mohammedans then have faith, then the Christians don't have faith. If Confucius has the faith, then the Mohammedans don't have faith. There's but one God, but one Lord, but one faith, but one baptism. And that is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which faith I preach unto you of the Christ that came, that died for you. God the Word made flesh, resurrected from the dead, delivered for our offenses, and raised again for our justification. So the Bible said, examine yourself and see if your believing has brought you to the one faith, and see if you are in the faith, lest you believe amiss, and lest your believing be not sufficient. See if your believing has brought you to the obedience of the Word, and to the conformity of the Word. If so, then ye are in the faith. For if you abide in my word, then are ye in my faith. Ye ask what you will, and I'll do it. So then if ye are in the word, then ye are in the faith. If you examine yourselves and you find you're not in the word, then you're not in the faith. So then faith is by the hearing of the word. If you have faith in the word, then you have faith in God. If you don't, then you don't have faith at all. I want you to lift your hands up. I want you to think on all these things I said to you tonight. See, you don't get saved by coming to the altar. You don't get saved by repenting. Esau sought repentance with bitter tears. Found no place of repentance. Judas repented, threw down the 30 pieces of silver, but he found no place of repentance, because the gift of eternal life, the gifts and callings of the ministry, they don't come through repentance. Though the Bible tells us as high priest, we should pray that God would grant repentance to them that are without. But it doesn't come through repentance. That isn't the way it comes. It comes through the foreknowledge of God. You're elect according to His foreknowledge. And the Bible says that this was given to us in God before the world ever was. And at Calvary, when the veil was rent, He brought it to light, which means He made it understanding.
And down through the church ages, they have preached it. And all of us that have been born from generation to generation hath had a chance to hear and a chance to receive and a chance to believe that we all might be saved by His mercy and by His everlasting grace. But I call you down to the altar wondering if you'll come as to an act of obedience, as to a correlation of the people, as to keep you in one mind and one accord, as to honor the minister. Not me speaking, but the Heavenly Father. Is it then an act of faith for you to come? If it is the Heavenly Father speaking, then He is the Word. If you honor Him, then it is faith. If you dishonor Him, then it is not faith. Therefore, Paul said, I was not disobedient, but rather obedient to the faith, even the faith of Jesus Christ. So tonight, it's your heart that counts. It's the altar of your heart that counts. If thou canst believe in thine heart and not doubt, but believe that Jesus died for the remission of your sins, who was delivered for your offenses and raised again for your justification. If thou canst believe that God hath, for your sake and Christ's sake, raised Him up from the dead to sit at His right hand. If you can believe, then with the heart man believeth unto this righteousness. And the open door of it coming into your heart is by the confession of your lips. When your heart uses your lips to make a confession, that is the open door into your world. And having believed unto the Spirit of righteousness and the Spirit of substance, that brings you your heart's desire. Then with the confession of your lips, the heart's door is open, and in it comes into your spirit, which is within your heart, and the sound of the utterance from that life within the heart comes out the mouth, which means He hath come in. He hath been allowed to come in. The heart's door, I stand at the heart's door and knock. Believe unto this substance. Believe unto this righteousness. Then open the door of the heart. Because the body without the spirit is dead. Even the heart being part of the body is dead without the spirit. Therefore, to believe with the heart, and that the spirit uses the tenderness of the heart to draw nigh to God. To believe unto the Spirit. And then to open the heart's door by the confession of the lips indicates that there would be no verbal utterance had your spirit not communicated with His Spirit, which means you believed under righteousness. And your willing of confession allowed it to come in through the open door of desire and of truth. And the proof of it being in your heart, your spirit has become interwoven with that spirit and that oneness. And the verbal utterance in that is not you speaking, but Him speaking within you, proves that your spirit has been sealed against corruption or anything that could ever touch it. And once your spirit becomes one with His Spirit, never again can you be lost. For the seal cannot be broken until the day of the redemption of the body. All right. While we're standing here tonight, I'm going to ask Brother Marcel, and if he will, come up and pray the closing prayer. Examine yourself. See if you be in the faith. The last days many shall depart from the faith. Be believers, but only
religious ritualistics in their worldly conformities, not real Christian. Brother Allen.